Blog Talk Radio.
Happening, everybody. How you guys doing out there? We want to say hello to Phoenix and Linda Carrier as well. What's up, you guys?
Yay!
Phoenix, meet Linda. Linda, meet Phoenix. What's
Hi,
up?
My
Phoenix,
pleasure.
I
my
love
pleasure.
Your name. My All pleasure.
Right.
As well.
Thank you.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. Also, I want to give a shout out to our listeners. Much love to you guys. We hope you are well and safe and God is good to you. And we appreciate you choosing Soul Out Records Radio as a place to come and listen to some music, as we know you have many choices. So we appreciate you truly. And thank you for being the best part of Soul Out Records Radio. As I sit here and talk to my partners here, oh, my goodness gracious. I just finished talking to Linda about basketball. Lord. And
something I
but
know
guys,
nothing about.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. As we know, the NBA Finals are on the way, and we got a 3-2.
I was always sports challenged, Linda. I was into the martial
really?
Arts, but I just never. Yeah, I just always was sports. And the saddest thing, I lived right across the street from the schoolyard where kids played full court basketball. Can you imagine? My dad bought me a basketball.
What?
Go ahead.
My dad bought me a basketball, and I thought it was a chair to sit on. Oh,
wow.
God, that's
a very comfortable. Well, listen, I'm sports challenged in that way. I'm not athletic at all. But, I mean, I'm physical in the sense of being healthy. But basketball, a few years ago, I started watching and see, I mean, my brothers would always try to get me interested in being a serious watcher of football. But, and I did a little bit, but not really. And a few years ago, basketball, oh my God, Wardell knows that I really got into it. And by now, I'm exhausted from the finals. Wardell was teasing me this morning saying, you sound like you've been playing. And the finals are so intense and
physical.
And, oh, my God. But honestly, it's been an incredible pleasure. And so I've learned a lot. I keep learning every day how to interpret what I'm seeing. So I've gotten really really serious.
I mean, one thing I do appreciate about, you know, not being a sports person, but having the level of athleticism, I instructed the martial arts all through college. So I was very physical.
Oh, beautiful. See?
Including kicking the speed bag with my feet. But I look at the athleticism of these new kids, even performers. You know, people are constantly making comparisons between Michael Jackson and Chris Brown. But one of the outstanding things about this generation is their athleticism. We went crazy when Michael did the moonwalk. But when Chris Brown, what is he like, 6'3"? This dude does gymnastics on a whole nother level. Then Michael would be scratching his head. So
these
NBA
toes
players,
and sliding. Right.
I mean, these NBA players, they're monsters athletically. It's like
they are fighting every night. They are, oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I was telling you.
I've loved it. It's become a real outlet for me. So I've loved it. I can hardly wait for next season. Okay, what else?
Very good. Very, very good, you two. Hey. By the way, this is Linda from Dynasty, from the group Dynasty, and that's my partner. We've done many records together, and we've been really blessed to done that and to build a friendship and through the way or through the process, and it's been just wonderful. It's been since 1979 since I've known Linda, so we have been friends for a long time without
Linda's
telling
her. Why you got to go there?
What did you ask?
I said, you're probably saying, why did you got to go to 1979? You know, why can't you say
how did you hear me? I'm going, oh, my God. You know, he has to take us to the exact year.
Like
it's what you're saying. It's work. There's the opportunity to be as young as you can be as long as you respect health.
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. So listen,
your wealth.
Let's get down to this topic that I'm gonna Phoenix, I'm gonna go to the lady first and get her opinion, and then you and then I will follow. Why is what you feel more important to you than what I feel?
Wow. You always have a stunning question, don't you? Okay, well, immediately I will say that we're primed to know what it is we feel and why and what we've been through. So we are totally engulfed in what we feel. The problem comes if you hold on to that and you're not at all open to understanding that that process exists in every single person. Everybody has their own, sees through their own eyes and feel what they've gone through emotionally and mentally. And so the difficulty and the necessity, obviously, is to be strong enough and humble enough to understand that that person you're talking to right across from you or across the world has an equally important position. and feeling. And if we don't, I'm cutting myself off to say, what becomes a real impediment to respecting that there are lots of opinions that we need to hear to be a healthy society? What hurts that immediately? One of the easiest things to recognize is that one can be too insecure to not need to feel superior to another human being. And so, what I'm feeling is what I'm feeling. I am so much more important than you. I understand. And this is how it is. Well, no, that isn't how it is. There isn't one person, one perspective, one experience in this world. And we see it every day. The most difficult thing to do is to have somebody be clear-headed enough, humble enough, and secure enough to say, I feel this, but what is your opinion? What do you feel?
And that would be awesome.
Oh, my God.
That would be awesome.
It
makes a world of difference.
That's how we would solve That's how we would solve everything. For me to understand, God, how am I going to understand you or relate to you or like you or respect you or get the benefits of you holding my hand and making me feel what you feel?
Wow.
That's my initial perspective.
I love it. So, by the way, I just want you guys to know also on the line we have Mr. Don Fleming is in the house. How you doing, Don?
Mr. Fleming.
Hi. Hey, guys. How are you?
He's quiet. He's
good,
never that quiet. If he's not talking, I at least hear him chewing or something. But anyway.
Ow.
I'm always good with Don. Okay. Okay, so now Phoenix, your slide, then Don can come on after that. So, your opinion or your thoughts about the topic or what Linda said.
Well, it's interesting since you took us back to 1979. I'm gonna take a dive into the deep end of the pool, and I'm gonna bring something a little more cerebral to the table. That I think, you know, since we're all practitioners of the music realm, we come from an analog world, and today's world is a digital world. Analog musically was forgiving. Jimi Hendrix proved that with Distortion. Today's music is perfect. It's digitally, the quantizations are perfect. And so it has had a demonstrative effect, in my humble opinion, on people today, because the music is not forgiving. It's very exacting. And so along with social media and social mores, people today I find are less amicable to acquiesce and take a back step. They're very forward in their thinking because the music of our day, the times that we're living in, cultivates a me-first attitude, like what you experience on the road, you know, road rash, rage. And so, unfortunately, we come from, as I mentioned, an analog world of forgiveness, and we were willing to listen to our neighbor. We could agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. The exacting times of this digital world that we live in today, there's no real room for pilot error. So it's a me-first attitude. It's a what I say matters and what you say doesn't. And I think these have had a profound effect. Yeah. It's had a profound effect on the way people move with other people. That's just my take on the matter.
Wow. And that's so true. I mean, I like how you broke that down. Mm. That's pretty good. Very good, young man. All right. All right. So, you know, being
well, I just
me,
I recently
anyway.
Had a discussion with a very good friend of mine. We were talking about analog music, and digital. He was mixing some music for me, and I said, you know, in digital music, it doesn't understand clipping. It doesn't understand distortion. It sounds like glass breaking. But in an analog realm, we could push it, especially those tube amplifiers, where they would glow bright orange. It gives you that mushroom effect, that warmth. And that's a forgiving mechanism. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I really thought. I said, it's really effective today. And
that's why, for singers, they like tube mics better because of that forgiveness.
All day long.
And it warms the vocal tone.
Remember those old Neumanns, man? They were like $5,000 microphones, and it took about a half an hour to warm them up for the tubes.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
You're talking about the stuff that Ray Charles and them use, the real stuff.
So just real quickly, Don, were you able to hear what Linda said? Did you hear what Linda said in regards to the topic?
I got a little bit of it. I just wanted to go ahead and ask. I think we're all kind of saying the same thing in our own way. With me, and let me just say, let me just co-sign with Linda and Phoenix on you know, the sentiments. I think when you have, to me, you have two egos. You have two egos. You have two people who are set in their ways. Now, granted, you know, there are, you know, to be in a relationship, when it comes to relationships and things like that, there has to be a certain level of compromise. You know, certain women and some men don't like the word submit. You know, some guys don't like the word submit, definitely. I think when your ego comes to play, and again, I think the term, the word acquiesce, I think there are, you know, whether it's the man or the woman, I think there has to be some type of concessions to make this a healthy relationship, whether it's in a boy-girl relationship or even a companion, a friend, you know. I think there has to be concessions. There has to be egos moved to the side. We're set in our ways. We're at a certain age that we don't change for anybody. But at the same time, understanding that compromise is not about changing. It's about adjusting to where you guys can meet a happy medium when it comes to that. And the synergy has to be the synergy. And there's a word I want to add to the lexicon. You know, the synergy has to be compatible for each to kind of to be satisfied on each end. But again, it's very difficult, but it's not impossible. So,
okay. Excellent. You know, Linda, it irritates me when, you know, I'm trying to, or I see others do the same thing, trying to share their feelings in regards to, you know, their position, and the people on the other end of the line, or you know, or that they're talking to is not acknowledging what they're saying. Well, I mean, how do you deal with that?
I know what you mean. First, I'd like to
go ahead.
Disagree
yeah,
a little bit with Phoenix's position, only a little. I respect his analogy of the relationships and the difference between analog and digital music, but I don't see the question that you asked about us. My position being more important to your position, and how do we bridge that? I disagree that it's a more intellectual time that's causing the problem, because that problem has existed forever. It's about, are you willing to listen to another position? Are you even able psychologically to see that you are not giving room to respect another person's position? That's why we're having so many problems politically, culturally. Nobody wants to let go of their position and just demand that it's right. I don't think it's more intellectual. It's still an egotistical problem. And sometimes a more mentally challenged problem that we don't recognize, as I said before, as being too insecure to open yourself and respect another person's position. Wardell, I don't know if tell me what you were asking me, because
okay.
I was
okay.
trying to hold on to that.
Okay, no, I think I want to let Phoenix respond to that first.
Okay.
Well, I just think that, you know, in a general sense, you know, it's just been my observation. I'm just an observable man, humble as I can be under God's tutelage, is that I observe people, and I see a disproportionate amount of people from varied age groups, depending upon, because music is the universal language. And I think it permeates in all things. Music is the tapestry of our lives. If you go back to some of the earlier music, it was happy. It was upbeat. Music has gotten dark. It has gotten very stiff in the way it moves. And it affects people. That's all I'm saying. It affects them in a sense where I don't think they even realize it. You know, if you talk to people who do, for instance, it was brought to my attention, EDM music, that's moving at 160 BPMs a minute. I just made 64. I'm not dancing at 164 BPMs per minute. I'm going to have a heart attack. But it changes their language. It changes their stress levels. It changes the way they move, as opposed to coming from New York when the music was maybe 88 BPMs and it was laid back and it was cool. Mm-hmm. It was all about the cool. So that's all I'm saying. Yes, intellectualism plays a role, your social mores, who you come from, what you're about. But at the base level, you know, if you're a metalhead and you're talking to a person that listens to classical music, you're going to reach an impasse. And and sometimes I don't think they realize it, just as
Phoenix,
an observation.
Phoenix, what do you think about what Linda said in regards to this problem has existed forever? This is not anything new.
I think it has, but I think it's on tilt now. It's graduated to the level. I think in our generation, you talk about the 70s, and there were a lot of political things, unrest that were happening, but we were far more forgiving. We were willing to acquiesce. We were willing to put our egos aside a little bit. Today's generation, they're not having it. So I think it's on tilt. I think it's the same problem. It's just turned up now. And that's just the way of the world.
Hey, Don?
That's just what I see. Mm-hmm.
Don, are you there?
I am. What's going on?
What are you? Did you hear it? Did you hear what they
did? No, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. No, I'm just asking.
I'm on a couple of... Go ahead.
Yeah, I know you're multitasking. I was just wondering if you heard what they just said and just wanted to know what your thoughts were about the difference between what they're saying.
I mean, really, again, it's really no difference when you have, and yes, I got a chance to hear it. I think when you have those moments, again, it's all about what you're willing to compromise and do. It's to be simply put. To just simplify
Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that this problem has always existed, or do you believe that it's something that's just, Phoenix said it's just getting, it's more in your face?
No, I agree with her that it's always existed. I'm not saying that it hasn't always existed. I'm just saying it has changed. The social mores of today has changed. It's more turned up. People are less forgiving. And, you know, communication gaps have, it goes back to biblical times. You know, they agreed to disagree, but they didn't kill each other. I mean, not really. It's just turned
they
up.
They did
That's
a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
They did.
A lot of killing.
I mean, we could split hairs with that. I'm just saying the times are different today, a little more so than they were in the past. Historically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can definitely, you know, something that happened in 1972, the mores in 1972 are going to be a whole lot different than the mores in 2022. But there are certain things that, to me, are universal when it comes to, you know, just the whole psyche of the human experience. And, you know, and it gets hard to kind of sift through it, but it can be done.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and
you
the whole thing is looking for, is defining why. And I understand what's amped up about this generation, but I'm talking about any age group at this time. Finding a way to simplify the problem, to diagnose what it is, but how do you allow for or how do you encourage an opening in that? Sure, societally, culturally, it's much more difficult, and it exists across the board, but it's like still have to break things down and figure out what's a real basic problem and how to make it look a little more simplistic to possibly find and or encourage an opportunity to extend an ear to the next person or the next group.
Yeah. Well, how do you do that? That's the question is, how do you do that? How do you get that person or persons that are, you know, acting in the way that your opinion, your thoughts, your feelings don't matter? How do you get them to come around and see that their way is not quite the right way either?
You watch a lot of Perry Mason and Matlock to sway them your way. No. Now, you know, I wanted to go ahead and jump in. I apologize. But I wanted to go ahead and jump in to pretty much, you know, kind of give my two cents on it. I think the fact that it's about, what's the word? And I was joking a little bit about the whole Perry Mason Matlock thing, at the same time, it's not even about a certain amount of truth. It's about winning the argument. It's winning the debate. And if there is a way, you know, it doesn't have to be. And again, it goes along with the human experience. If it doesn't align with your thoughts, if you're trying to sway a person to align with your thought process, which is going to be hard, it's not impossible. There has to be a little bit of manipulating.
To me, there's no winning. You're not winning anything.
No, you're not.
If you can't have a conversation, if only what you care about is what's being talked about, you haven't done anything. You haven't won anything.
But here's the thing. Let me say this. If you're trying to, if you're trying to sway a person on your opinion, knowing that
I'm not sway. I just want to share my opinion. And, you know,
how do you encourage a hearing? It's not about sway or manipulation. And yeah, I understand too what you're saying about that. The other party has to have a reason to want to hear you. There has to be something that you're holding, or even if it's your attention or your whatever, your attitude, there has to be something that encourages them to want to hear you or to give you 5 minutes to say your piece. But that's what the problem is. The problem is, how do you encourage? It's creating a language, but not a more enhanced language, maybe a more enhanced understanding, but a simplified way of reaching the person that they will hear you, that you hear each other.
Sway is not the word.
I think there's two things that has to be evoked in that scenario. Are you a pursuer of peace? And do you have a sense of humility? Because if you're not pursuing peace, if you don't have a sense of humility, then there's no boundary or restraint. And sometimes conversations are equated to throwing a ball. I was saying that to Wardell earlier. When you're dealing with a child that you love, don't you throw it underhanded and you say, okay, Johnny, here's the ball, it's coming. You ready? And then Johnny's ready. He's fidgeting, but, man, he's ready. And you throw it up high enough and soft enough that he can catch it without hurting himself. But if you take that same ball and you come overhead and you throw it downward condescendingly, Johnny's going to have a problem catching that ball, and you might get hurt. Conversations are similar. You know, that's how I took, you know, when I went to college and took speech
courses, we looked at
that in terms of, are you forgiven?
Of course.
Are you pursuing peace? Are you looking, is your modus operandi that I really want to make a connection with you? I'm humble, you know, because if that's not your agenda, and that's the problem of the world, there's no peace, there's no pursuance of peace, there's no humility. It even lacks within, you know, interpersonal relationships. Everybody wants to be the boss.
Well,
the,
you know, the,
can you be the horse?
That's what I suggested in the beginning. That's what I suggested in the beginning, that it has to be begun with respect for another person and with your own humility. That's what I suggested in the beginning.
Always.
That it has to
always
be more simplistic.
And to pursue peace, because if your objective is not to pursue peace, which is the problem, I think, in politics, nobody really wants peace. They push an agenda. They may have a sense of humility, but their objective is not to pursue peace.
So you have people that that's their nature, to not listen. Mm-hmm. They have no peace in their heart at all, right? It is just about them. It is all about them. They are the ones that we are hoping to be able to break them from this arrogant control over a conversation and allow us to really have a conversation. Just like the only way you can get those people, I mean, the only way I've seen it work is in court, when a judge says, I need to hear your side, and then I want to hear
your side.
And then, so what happens is the judge, it can't even make a decision until he knows both sides, right? If you are in a conversation with a person that's not even listening to your side, then how do they make a decision that they're right and you're wrong, when they won't even listen to your reasoning for why you're upset? And that's what I'm concerned about in what's happening in the world, even right now. Even if you and I don't like talking about politics, but you know, you can't get hardly any Republicans to watch the what's happening with the January 6th thing. Yeah, because they have made their mind up that it's wrong what's being said, and so they won't listen.
Right.
But see, you can't learn if you don't listen. You have to, a judge has to be. I mean, the judge is only can make a judgment based off of factual information, and he has to hear both sides of the story to make that decision. He can't just base it off of, okay, you said this is what happened. Okay,
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's got to be both sides. So in a conversation, when it's just you and me, Phoenix, or you and Linda or Don and myself, we both have to say what our parts are to justify our position. And if we don't, then it's not fair. And that's all I'm saying. Can't we be fair? Can't we just get along? And how can we do that? How can you influence people to be smart enough to do that?
Oh, that's a whole different plateau.
That's the problem. That's the difficulty. That's what I was trying to suggest at the beginning, that all you can do initially is have the willingness to be humble, that your opinion is not the only opinion, only position. And that it is peaceful to hear the other person. That is a gesture of peace. But you're talking about, okay, if it's one-on-one and that person has closed the door, maybe through their insecurity that they they aren't willing to hear because they have a rigid picture that they have, you know, painted for themselves, and it makes them feel secure, and they don't know how they're going to feel if they open the door to new thoughts. Whatever
right.
their personal, whatever their personal makeup is, if it has any of that, is going to make it much more difficult. And that's why it is difficult to impossible sometimes in certain one-on-ones. And sometimes it takes the greater world, which could be a small, let's keep it small for a minute, say within a small group of people. Maybe it's the people then outside of those two people that either side has some affinity for, some affinity to listen to, some willingness to listen to a little, and perhaps they can be persuaded then, you know, as maybe rather than two people, maybe four people or six people to listen to each other and talk. But it's not, there is no simple, perfect answer. We can highlight the difficulty of it, but boy, is there a super need to try and hear the other person, because even in interpersonal relationships, that's a serious problem if you can't hear the person you're building a life with, or your friend, your neighbor, you know. So that
yeah.
there, it's a serious difficulty.
In relationships, sometimes the more dominant person never gives
mm-hmm.
the other person a chance to say how they feel about
mm-hmm.
what just happened. And how unfair is that? I mean, I remember many times my mom would just say, okay, because my dad wouldn't. He was a preacher, and he would just say it just keeps going, and this is how how we're going to deal with this situation. Blah, 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 blah. And my mom mm-hmm. had different thoughts, but she would be. Some people are softer, and they don't even go for it. They just kind of okay. Well,
it's difficult. It's difficult.
Yeah, it's hard, and then you're trying to keep peace by not forcing mm-hmm. your way, but it's so sad that you have to feel like you're forcing your way to communicate to your lover,
mm-hmm.
your husband, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
ridiculous. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. That's the part that just irritates me, that some people just refuse to see that they are blocking their own, they're blocking people from being able to maybe finding peace, maybe learning something that they never knew, maybe their own blessing. They're blocking their own blessing because they're so about them instead of, and so many people make everything about them, and everything's not about you. When stop making everything
right.
about you. Who do you think you are?
They fear it. They fear it.
Not even the pastor has the right to make it all mm-hmm. about him. It's not all about you.
Absolutely.
God uses other people and the church to bless you.
What I was thinking about when you said that, you know, one of the tests of that reality is if you are all ready to give a rebuke or a rebuttal to what the person said, then you didn't digest what they said in the first place. You know,
have you ever had a conversation?
Listen to me. When you're talking to someone and they don't even let you finish, and they're coming already with a rebuttal or rebuke because they were already waiting with the ammunition, their fist behind their back, to throw the next mm-hmm. jab, that they didn't even digest what you said. And that's
okay.
what I mean by pursuing peace. You're not
okay.
you're
mm-hmm.
not willing to accept the conversation and digest what the person is trying to translate, even if you agree to disagree. You're not listening to what they said.
Okay,
and
I
that's
heard
what an
you...
arbitrator or a judge. A judge sometimes, as you mentioned, he's sitting there and say, wait a minute, you didn't hear the full thought. This is what the person said. Now, how do you respond to what they said?
So
but
this
if you
is
don't
my
give
thought.
That opportunity a chance.
Listen, my thoughts on that is that a person, if we sit down and say, okay, listen, let's just sit down and talk about this. I already have how I feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. I'm going to listen because I want to hear what you have to say, but I already know how I mm-hmm. feel too. So it's so soon as you are finished from saying whatever it is that you're going to say, you know, I may have learned something from it, and it may even mm-hmm. change the tone of my voice that I'm going to use, but I already knew what I was going to say. It's not like I had to, I didn't decide what I was going to say based off of what you were going to say. I already knew how I felt. And so when you finish
okay.
saying whatever you have to say, now I'm ready to say what I have to say. And I all I want is respect. Mm. Can you give me enough respect to say what I have to say? And then after I say what I have to say, and you say what you have to say, then we can go back and forth about what each other said. Because a lot of times, mm-hmm. so a person would say, so what I hear you saying is, and then they'll repeat it to make sure that they heard it correctly. And then, see, that's healthy conversation. And that's always
a conversation.
Then
you can clarify.
Right. Because sometimes we don't hear the words that are coming out of people's mouths. Sometimes it's just so, the tone of their voices.
So that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm
that
that's
gets
exactly
in the
what
way.
I'm saying. Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, it can't be a monologue. It has to be a dialogue. If it's a monologue, it's just you talking, and then I have to accept what you're saying. But if it's a dialogue, it's an interdispersal of discussion that you could agree to disagree. You could acquiesce. You could say, okay, I get your point. Point was brought out. Okay, clarify what you just said. Okay, that's what mm-hmm. No, that's not what I really meant. And now you have more of a meeting of the mind, even though you have totally different opinions on the matter.
So the
and
bottom
yes, respect
line
is a major, it's a major contribution to that.
The bottom line to me, Linda and Don, the bottom line to me is just, can we just be respectful to each other, mm-hmm. even if we totally disagree? Like, look, I don't like either team that's playing right now in the NBA.
You had to go
I don't
there.
Like either one of them, but I
you had to go there, Linda.
I had to go there. That's Linda's spot right there. But I chose one. I mean, you know, so I just said, okay, I'll be open to, and then I'm getting into it, and then my team that I chose is losing. I go, that's why I didn't like them in the beginning.
I have no dog in this fight.
But let me just say this. Go ahead.
Let me just say this. I think when you at the end of the day, you have to get engaged. And I think when we talk about, and I'm going to get into a controversial topic, and I know you might not want to go there but I want to go there for a quick second. When you talk about politics, you know, the fact that a lot of people choose not to vote, you know, but you got to have skin mm-hmm. in the game somehow. You know, that, I think mm-hmm. that's the point. You said you have no dog in the fight with the two teams that are playing right now, but you know, because you love the game itself, because you love mm-hmm. it as a sport, you pick something. You pick a team. Now, granted, you don't have to fight for it tooth and nail to the death, but you can have a certain affinity towards what that the colors, what they stand for, things like that. I think you can pretty much place that when it comes to politics. Yeah, you have the two-party system. You have these things going on in one party. You're going into the other party. But the fact that you're not engaging in it, the fact that you're not having that skin in the game, it becomes more problematic, and it gives mm-hmm. more, to me, it gives more a lighter fluid to that fire of complaining. It's like, why are you complaining?
Exactly.
You know? So exactly. Again, to kind of reel it home to what you were saying, it's about being engaged. Being engaged, mm-hmm. like Phoenix yeah. said, showing some humility, and being engaged and being truthful and being honest and according to Linda, not the word sway, but to encourage. And that's
right.
what it mm-hmm. all boils down to at the end of the day. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're doing great. I'm not trying to say anything. We're just agreeing with you. We are agreeing with you. And thank you for, you know, bringing that full circle with everybody. That's well said, and thank you. But I, you know, we're about done with this conversation, but I just wanted to say, you know, it's that's what was happening here, just trying to communicate to each other is kind of the same thing that we're talking about. We just got to get people to engage, and even though we had different opinions and different feelings, we were at least listening to each other. That's all we're asking for. You know, that's all I'm asking for my friends and politicians, people in, you know, this world. You talk about the United States of America. We're now the divided states of America. You know, we need to be the United States. The only way we're going to do that is by listening to each other and listen to other people's concerns and why they are concerned about this. And, you know, and then we can work things out. But if we don't even start with listening to each other, forget it. We're screwed. So,
I think
but anyway,
I was constructive about this. May I say something?
Yes, yes, because I'm going to give everybody a chance to close out.
I think what was constructive about this was that we were all illustrating the same thing with maybe different scenarios or different analogies, but they all related in the same way. So what I think was really constructive about it was to break down the different examples and to look for a more simplistic way to say it so somebody else hearing it might hear it, because it was fun to hear each of us and encouraging, but to hear each of us approach the subject with different analogies, different examples, but basically relating to the same process of being humble enough to respect and listen to it. That's the need.
We have to respect the body of the situation, whatever it is. If you really love this person, respect that person enough to let them speak. You know, if you really love your country, respect it enough to listen to the people speak. You know, and if it's all about respect. Just be respectful to the situation. You know, and if you know you
it's
choose
a
not to, that's
fine. It's a pie in the sky notion. I think it can be achieved. But again, going there for a quick second, you have to understand what is the motivator. And being in this country, when you talk about politics, you talk about all the things, what is the motivator? Is it money? Mm-hmm. Is money the main motivator? Because you can say all types of crazy things, don't believe it, just to get a certain amount of money, but these people are supposed to
represent. Follow the money trail.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So in a capitalist society, and you know, this isn't ragging on capitalism, but you have to understand what is the great motivator into encouraging opinions for us to have the same wavelength when it comes to opinion, when it comes to encouraging that opinion. How do we encourage that opinion? What is the motivator behind encouraging that opinion? And those are the things, those are questions that we're still trying to answer to this day. So
I would like to respond to that in my closing statement. I was recently asked a question by a potential partnership and asked what was my greatest motivation. And I said, the fear of displeasing my God. And there's a scripture, just to, like he would mention, not to take it to a scriptural discussion, but from my motivational standpoint,
go there, brother.
Is to fear, is the greatest point is to fear the true God, keep his commandments. This is the whole obligation of man. And so this is what forces me to acquiesce. If you bring God into the equation, I'm going to take two giant steps backwards. I'm going to put on my humble cap and I'm going to sit down, because I realize whatever he says, he puts a period at the end of the sentence. And people can get political. People can get into their color. They can get into their feelings. But the Creator, in a demonstrative sense, he says, fear the true God, for this is the whole obligation of man. And that's where humility comes in. That's where pursuance of peace comes in. I like what Wardell says. It's not about what I think in the end of the day, because when I close my eyes and the flower bringing and the singing and the coleslaw and the chicken come along, it's a new day. So it has nothing to do with me. But the Creator still continues to procreate his concept. And he can definitely humble us, but what does he allow us to be, all of us, free moral agents? He never forces us to do anything. He says, come to me if you love me. If you don't, then you'll soon see something that you can't understand. And so, you know, so my greatest fear in all things, you know, it's no secret, I'm going through a divorce, and I was asked by my significant other, I said, you know, the greatest thing about that situation is, I know God hates a divorcing, and I have somehow let him down, and I hate that because I don't want to displease him.
What were you asked by your fiance? I mean, your wife.
Her question basically was, you know, where we were at and where we're going, and I said, well, the greatest thing for me is that I feel I let him down as head of household. I felt that. I've displeased him, and that really bothers me at a core level. You know, so politics and all those things, those are all secondary to me. I mean, it's not about me winning the race or winning the war, but it's what he thinks about in the end of the day. And I'll just say in conclusion, I think this is a very responsible program that intelligent men and women can come together in a meeting of the minds and express various vantage points of the same concept, just from different angles. And that's what makes us healthy.
Yes.
May I say
absolutely.
Something? Because
yeah, in closing,
Phoenix's comment was so beautiful. I think your heart and your humanity and your spirituality and your consideration of the woman you were, you know, engaged with, I think your consideration is expressed so beautifully that God has you. He's with you. He knows we have to learn stuff. And I just think you sound like you're in a lovely and loving space. So I'm just wishing you well. That's all.
Thank you.
Amen.
I know. Don? I know he's got me because I said, you know, I could walk away, and the next day I just believe in love. I'm not like Mr. Wardell. Nobody tops him. He's just the lovingest guy. Sometimes he gives me goosebumps, but I try.
I learned that from. I learned that from Don the Man. Don, what is your closing statement, Don? What do you got to say?
No, I think Phoenix and Linda, I mean, eloquently put it to where I can't really come back from that. But no, let me just say this.
Yeah.
I think the motivator, at the end of the day, it's about the greater holistic view, on a macro level. What is there to be accomplished at the end of the day? And you just have, because you're an individual person, you're humble, you're humble, but you make your mistakes. It's okay. It's a part
of
human growth. But I just say this, you know, what is your motivator at the end of the day when it comes to the holistic viewpoint on a macro level? I said that word again, macro level. And just apply yourself, your individual self, in an existential way. How, just go ahead and apply that to your everyday life, and you should be okay.
Amen. Amen. That's good. And yeah. I want to say thank you, guys. I really appreciate, you know, your wisdom and your heart. And I most of all appreciate you taking out the time to listen. That's key. That's what it's all about. And so thank you for listening to each other and sharing your thoughts as well. And people that are listening will make their own decisions as to, you know, what they heard from each one of us. So thank you for, you know, just putting your heart out there, because it's really all about fairness. We need to be fair to each other and kind.
And trying yes. to be open.
Yes, exactly. Just let's try to be. Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully,
make at least an attempt.
Yeah, exactly.
Really.
Can we just get an attempt?
Over and over.
All right. I love it, guys.
We all are saying amen to that. Can't we just try again?
Awesome. Yeah.
Can we just try again? All right, guys. Well, thank you for trying and blessing us with your efforts. We appreciate you. So,
thank you for letting me call in. It was lovely to hear all of you, you three.
Awesome. Likewise. All right, you guys.
Yep, enjoying you, Linda.
Thank you. You too.
All right, guys. Well, we'll catch you later. Have a blessed one. All right. Bye-bye.
Even when there's no one sitting there, but I will share not a house, and a house is not a that you can give. Good night. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Hello, bye-bye, baby. Yeah. A room is still a room, even when there's nothing there but gloom. But a room is not a house, and a house is not a home when the two of us, we are far apart, and one of us heart. Yeah, now and then, now I call your name, and suddenly your face appears, but it's just a crazy game, and when it ends, it pretty little darling, have a heart, yeah, baby, and don't let one mistake keep us apart. I was wrong and I know it, forgive me, honey, 'cause I'm not meant to live alone. Turn the key, oh baby, please be there and still in love. I said, still So you're gonna be in love with me. It's driving me crazy to think that my baby wouldn't be my baby, wouldn't be my book.
I'm a little
Man, oh man, I tell you, this is good. That is, it makes me sad at the same time. It makes me feel good. It sounds like an oxymoron. And that's because it is, because, you know, the musicians in Chic were my friends, and the bass player and the drummer both passed away. And so it's, you know, it's just crazy. Y'all know that, right? And so my friend Kimberly said that, you know, that if more people took the Apostle Paul's advice, we would be living in a more peaceful world. So thank you, Kimberly, for that. And that's true. It's be peaceful with one another. And that's Thessalonians 5:13 in scripture. And so, and y'all know this is a Christian-based station. So, but anyway, that was good. That was good talk. And, you know, it's really about respect, respecting others. You know, when you respect others, you're really showing respect for yourself. You're showing respect for your own restraint, and you're showing respect for your brothers and sisters, people that matter, and they should matter, because we should love who God loves, right? So if God loves them, it's harder for us because they're not our children, but they are brothers and sisters. And so, you know, we need to have a more of a heart like Christ. And I see, you know, like certain parties are proclaiming to be more Christian than others, but yet they won't even do the simple part of listening to one another. You know, taking time out to listen and have a conversation, be respectful enough to just listen, because you don't know what you're missing. They may say something that you go, oh my goodness gracious, ooh, I didn't think about that, or I didn't know that part. You know, and sometimes it may be things that may hit and you spiritually go, oh, really? You know, that's, you know, your gut. And you got to pay attention to your gut feeling. A lot of times we ignore our spirit, and we just do us. And that could be very dangerous. That could be very scary. And that could be very harmful, not just to you, but also to the individuals that you're being that way with. So please, you know, let's love on each other. Pay attention. Be respectful. All we're asking is just a little respect. Just a little respect. Right? Aretha said it better. So anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in today. Got about 45 minutes left. I'm going to play some good music. I love ballads, though. I'm something's happening to me. And I think I'm missing the love zone. The love zone is just such a wonderful, oh, the music, there's great love songs. So, you know what? I love the way this brother sings. Let's try him. Let's go and see what Charlie's up to.
would sound so smooth. The wind would feel lighter. The nights would be made for two. And if I never told you that you were all I see, the painting of my life would be incomplete. And I would never hurt you. You're the air I
childhood friend.
Find another girl in this heart of mine. play.
I'm telling you, baby, you will never find another girl in this heart of mine.
Yeah.
guys. We're rocking and rolling here. We got about another 30 minutes left in the show, so thanks for tuning in as we're mixing it up here on Solar Records Radio with your boy, Wardell Potts Jr. Let's roll it. Mix it up. A little jazz, maybe. Come on, Al. Al Jarreau. Could you take a little bit of time? I really want to see you. Could you take a little bit of time, baby? I want to see you better. Could you spend a little bit, take a little, spend a little bit of time? Would you take a little bit of time? We fool around, jump down, fool around. Could you fool around, say, one, two, three, and four, five, and 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 one, two, three. Now, can you count to one, two, three?
I'm out to see that I'm alive, I'm alive. Although I'm going out on my way, just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. The pantomime and out of time, still I know all eyes are for me. Half a tingle sound to my feet, when your smile is much too discreet, to send me on my way. Now wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? Well, you could offer a light. You start a little conversation, now it's alright. When you say goodbye. Busy day and take the time out to see, girl, that I'm alive. So I'm going out of my way just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and lots of time. Still I know my life's off for me. Half a tingle's down to my feet. When you're smiling, rush to the street to send me on my way. Wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? But then mama, you know that you could offer me a light. Start a little conversation now, it's all right. Will you say bye? Go where do we say? Guess a pantomime and out of time. Still I know my eyes are for me. Apple tingles down to my feet. When your smile went to the street, it's sending me on my way. Well, baby, just don't say I'm on it. Please do not stare. You could offer your hand. Hugging and a chugging, it could be all so fast. Take five. Come take Listen to the words I told a girl. Listen to the words I told a girl. Listen to the words. Listen to.
blue sweet thing. You take a little bit of time, baby. So blue sweet thing. Could you take a little bit of time, baby? We can play around, we can boot around, we can jump down, boot around, play around. We can do it up, 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 up.
I'm seeing, girl, I just had to let you know, I see us leaving, you name it, and that's where we'll go. Did you come here by yourself, girl, or did you come here with your friends? I'm not waiting on an answer, I was just wondering if tonight, if this is something that can last all night. I hear your body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind. Ain't seen nothing better, the way that you're moving, it turned me on. What can I do to get you all alone? Cause baby tonight, I'm thinking we might just give this thing a try. Cause all I'm seeing in my mind is all feeling, there's more to you than what I see. Got me so curious on what we could be. I don't even know your name, girl, but I'm about to find out. If you just give me a minute, girl, I like to whisper in your ear about tonight. If this is something that can last all night, I hear your body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind. Ain't seen nothing better, the way that you're moving, it turns me on. What can I do to get you all alone? Cause baby tonight, I'm thinking we might just give this
my mind is tonight. If this is something that can last all night, I hear your body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind, ain't seen nothing better. The way that you move in, it turns me on.
All right, guys. You know, Don Fleming, he was just on, and I guess he got disconnected, but he'll call back in. I am enjoying this Mix It Up portion of our show, as we had a wonderful beginning of our show. That was so intense, huh? Just talking about what we talked about. And basically, can we listen to each other? That was so cool, and I'm just so grateful. And I'm just so grateful that we did this and had a chance to talk about it. I didn't get a chance to get this information to my buddy Greg in time for the flyer, but it was just it's just. A good topic when you're talking about blessing each other and being kind to one another, being respectful to one another, opening the door for other people to say how they feel and what they're going through. It was just a good conversation between Phoenix, Don, and Linda Carrier from Dynasty, and myself today. So I'm very grateful. Don, did you enjoy that
good
conversation?
Stuff, man.
Yeah,
man,
that was good.
Good stuff. It really was, man. I really enjoyed myself. Phoenix is, to me, he is a wordsmith when it comes to, you know, these type of topics. And, you know, I'm just the type of person, you know, I'm just trying to keep up. And I think he's amazing. And Linda, you know, giving a woman's perspective on these issues, which is good to have. It's good to have her perspective so we can kind of listen in and kind of understand and hone in on the sentiments of a woman, you know, and at least try to definitely, you know, just understand it and just be more holistic when it comes to understanding. Again, it's easy to say that we're built different, and the women are built different, but I think it's tantamount to just understand and just be a listening person, a person that's willing to listen and a person that's willing to be able to engage and not talk over. And
right.
that's a good thing. And thank you, Linda, for giving that perspective.
Yes. I mean, and just with that being said, that women are different, you know, that doesn't mean that that doesn't give you the right to be disrespectful.
Oh, God,
that,
no.
You know what I'm saying? That should give you the enough information to go, you know what? Well, I need to listen to what they got to say. I can either listen to what she has to say, right? Because she's different. She's coming from a different place. And so, and the bottom line, none of us would be here without a woman anyway. So we really, so we really need to listen to what they have to say. But just in regards to, you know, that, we need to just be respectful to each other, whether it's a woman or a man. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, the gender is one thing, but being respectful to whoever it is that's in front of you, or someone that you maybe disagree with, and but sometimes we disagree because we don't understand. It's not that we disagree, you know. And so you give yourself the opportunity and the chance to maybe understand something you didn't understand before, and maybe you won't, but at least you give yourself the chance to, by
again,
listening.
The word the word, the operative word is respect. And if we can do that and become to me, it's how we become a good person in the eyes of God, you know, eyes of our Creator, and eyes of ourselves. You know, it's so much to do. Again, if you make mistakes, you fall, you get up and you know, you correct those mistakes. And
absolutely.
Again, I wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment. And again, thank you so much for allowing this type of platform to be, you know, basically centered for all of the listeners out there. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, thank you. And I'm just grateful that we could do this. And thank you for coming on and sharing your point of view and just taking out the time to listen like you did today, Don, because we all were like coming from different places, right? We all had different feelings and we were sharing different things, you know. And then, you know, at some point it seemed like we just all like, oh, I get it. I just felt this come togetherness moment. In our conversation, it was like, wow, that's really good. And that's, to me, that's, we did exactly what I want other people to do. I want the Congress to do. I want, you know, the Senate to do. I want the House to do. You know, I want friends to do. I want, you know, business partners to do. I want bosses at companies to do. I want leaders of businesses, leaders of church to do. Listen, be humble. And hear what your you know, like, you know that show, it's called what's that show called? It's about the boss, and he goes around, you know, and he actually starts working for himself, and people don't know that he's the boss.
Oh, Undercover Boss.
Yeah, Undercover Boss. And all, every single time that they do that, the one thing they learn is, oh, I see. Now I see. You know what? We need to pay that person more because this person right here is working their heart out for our company. Oh,
right.
I see. This person that I thought was good wasn't good. Let them go because we can't destroy our company like that. And so, but the only way that he was or she was able to acknowledge that is that she had to get in the bed with them and listen and hear what the people had to say. And she and they heard, they were able to hear it from each individual's point of view. And then they made a really good decision. And they felt so good about it that they gave people money, lots of money, sometimes up to $100,000 they were giving away because it was like a worthwhile investment. Now I know who's on my team. Now I know you because I opened up myself to you. And that's what it's all about. You get to know each other when you open yourself up to conversations where you can learn. Anyway, I get.
I mean,
so
you said a mouthful. I think, you know, and that's good. That's healthy. That's healthy to be able to, you know, express your feelings in the way that a lot of listeners, again, a lot of listeners may think you're one dimensional and thinking that, oh, all we do is play music. I think, you know, we're human beings. We have feelings. We have these sentiments of things that are around us. And it's okay to act down on it sometimes. And we were talking about the Motown thing from the other day. And again, this is a topic I don't want to feel like I'm laying on too thick. But I think it was a great moment, Saturday. For all the listeners who didn't get a chance to check it out. It's in the archives. Saturday, Wardell did a fantastic job of highlighting the Motown sound. We talked a little bit about it last night on the show. I think, you know, when you talk about these things, when you talk about the history, when you talk about the, you know, again, no one's perfect. Berry Gordy, again, he'll probably tell you this himself. He's 95 years old. He's not a perfect person, but I think he had his cons to his pros, you know, when it came to understanding, you know, this was bigger than just playing happy music, playing good music, don't get me wrong, but definitely music that reflected the times. You know, yes, it's okay to celebrate. It's okay to have these moments where we're partying and doing these things. But look, there's, you know, police are killing people left and right. They're killing people who look like you and I left and right with no equivocation, you know, and with full impunity. So, you know, it's okay to talk about these things because, again, that lets the listeners know that, look, you're just more than playing music. You're a person that understands the humanity and tries to portray or at least get the humanity and understand the humanity in other people. And sometimes there are inhumane moments where we have to address it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And that's just what we have to do. We have to. And we should. So that we could be a blessing to each other. I mean, this is great, man. I love when we have these kind of conversations. Thank you, Don. Thank you to all the all the team today. That was great. That was great. All right, so we're up and out of here. I don't know if you're in the system, if you want to close this out or not, but
I am in the system, and let me add this again. I think it's beautiful that we were able to, I love the fact that you were able to highlight, yes, this is Solar Records Radio. This is about, you know, every Friday we talk about Solar, we talk about the history of the sounds of Los Angeles Records, but I was just so happy that you were able to understand that there's a world out there of good music and the music that we grew up listening to when it came to Motown. And I'm assuming soon we'll have a show that's going to highlight Stax. We're going to have a show that's probably going to highlight Muscle Shoals music and not alone Northern Soul, Chess Records, King Records, all of these things that basically made the DNA, was basically in the DNA of American soul music or American popular music. Let's keep it real. And I will be there with you, brother, to be on this journey, and I really appreciate it.
Yes, yes. And Don, you know, I mean, you know, you've been doing this longer than me, and I, you know, if you want to, you know, highlight another record company in the Saturdays to come, you know, you pick out one and let's do it.
Hey, it's all good. We got about 9 minutes left of the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to go ahead and close it out since we're mixing it up, man. One of my favorite songs from 1985, and it's not necessarily, of course, the soul music. I love soul music, but it's one of those songs that I actually love. Let's take you back to 1985. This is music from Level 42. It's called Something About You from Wardell Potts Jr. I'm Don Fleming. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Make sure you have a great Tuesday. Keep it locked right here. Solar Records Radio. I'm out, guys.
Solar. Good night, everyone. How can you let it know?